I'm Echo.
And I'm Ether. Welcome to another Cohere Technologies Deep Dive podcast.
Specifically looking at two technologies that are kind of battling it out.
Right.
For supremacy, OFDM and OTFS.
Oh, that's right. You can think of it as a battle of the bandwidths.
Oh.
OFDM, which stands for Orthogonal Frequency Division. Multiplexing is the reigning champion.
Yeah.
It's the technology that powers much of our current wireless infrastructure.
Okay, so OFDM is like the veteran, the tried and true method.
Mm-hmm.
What about this OTFS I keep hearing about? What makes it a contender?
OTFS, or orthogonal time frequency space, is a newer technology that's generating a lot of buzz because it offers some distinct advantages, particularly in challenging environments.
Interesting.
We have a technical document that dives into the nitty-gritty of how these two technologies stack up against each other.
Perfect. I'm all about getting into the details.
Great.
So where do we start?
Well, let's set the scene. Our source material tells us that both OFDM and OTFS are working with the same bandwidth.
Right.
720 kilohertz transmitted over 1 millisecond.
Okay.
Imagine this bandwidth as a field.
Okay.
And within this field, both technologies have to divide their resources.
Uh-huh.
Think of them as building blocks for data into what we call resource elements.
Got it. So same size field, same number of building blocks, but maybe they arrange those blocks differently.
Exactly.
Okay.
OFDM divides its field into 672 resource elements.
Okay.
Splitting them across 48 subcarriers in the frequency domain and 14 symbols in the time domain.
Okay. So it's organizing its resources in a very time and frequency specific way.
Right. OTFS, on the other hand, also uses 720 resource elements.
Okay.
But it takes a different approach.
Okay.
It spreads those resources across what are called delay and Doppler domains.
Delay and Doppler.
You can think of the delay domain as accounting for the time it takes for a signal to travel from the transmitter to the receiver. And the Doppler domain compensates for the shifts in frequency caused by movement.
Okay.
Like when you hear an ambulance siren change pitch as it passes you.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So OTFS seems to have a built-in awareness of movement and how that impacts the signal.
Right.
I remember reading something about pilot signals in this document.
Yeah.
What are those all about?
Pilot signals are crucial in wireless communication.
Okay.
They're like those reference points you might see on a map.
Uh-huh.
They help the receiver accurately decode the data by giving it a baseline to compare against.
So like a guide to make sure the data arrives intact.
Precisely.
Okay.
OFDM, because of its reliance on a very precise time and frequency structure, uses a fairly complex system of pilot signals based on the 5G standard.
Okay.
It has to account for various factors like how the data is mapped onto the subcarriers, the position and length of these pilot signals, and a few other parameters.
Sounds complicated.
It can be. In fact, there are 8 possible ways these pilots can be arranged in OFDM.
Cool.
Which adds a layer of complexity.
Yeah.
Especially when you're dealing with rapidly changing channel conditions.
I bet.
Yeah.
So how does OTFS handle this?
OTFS keeps it refreshingly simple.
Okay.
It uses a single embedded pilot signal.
Okay.
Placed strategically within the data frame and surrounded by guard regions to prevent interference.
So it's like a single clear beacon guiding the way.
Right.
As opposed to OFDM's more intricate system.
Yeah.
What about modulation and coding?
Right.
The document mentioned those as well.
Yes. Modulation and coding are essentially the language and grammar of wireless communication.
Okay.
They determine how data is packaged and transmitted efficiently and reliably.
Yeah.
Luckily for our comparison, both OFDM and OTFS use the same set of rules.
Okay.
A table with 29 combinations of modulation orders and target code rates.
Okay. So it's like they're both speaking the same language, even if their sentence structure is a bit different.
Precisely.
What about this pilot to data ratio, or PDR? That keeps popping up.
That's a critical concept.
Okay.
The PDR is the ratio of energy allocated to pilot signals compared to data signals.
Got it.
Think of it like balancing a scale.
Okay.
You need enough pilot signal strength to guide the receiver, but you also want to maximize the amount of actual data you're sending.
So it's a trade-off between accuracy and efficiency.
Exactly.
Okay.
Now, OFDM has a fixed PDR based on the number of pilot and data symbols it uses.
Okay.
It aims for an even distribution of energy.
Yeah.
OTFS, however, is a bit more flexible.
Okay.
It can adjust its PDR on the fly depending on the channel conditions.
Ooh, that sounds advantageous.
Right.
Like adapting to the terrain.
Yeah.
So how do we measure which one is actually performing better?
That's where the concept of throughput comes in.
Okay.
Throughput is the ultimate measure of how much data you can reliably transmit per unit of time.
Got it.
Essentially, it's the speed at which information is flowing.
So the higher the throughput, the better.
Yeah. In general, yes.
Okay.
To compare OFDM and OTFS, the researchers behind our source document ran a series of simulations.
Mm-hmm.
They tested both technologies at various transmit power levels
what?
And under different Doppler shift conditions.
So simulating different real-world scenarios, like a stationary device versus one that's moving quickly.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, for each scenario, they measured something called the block error rate, or BLR.
Wait, what's BLR?
BLOR is essentially a measure of how many data packets get lost in transmission.
Mm-hmm.
A lower BLR means a more reliable connection.
Got it.
The researchers used these BLOR measurements along with information about the coding and modulation schemes to calculate the maximum achievable throughput for each technology in each scenario.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So who came out on top? Give me the highlights.
Well, before we reveal the winner,
okay,
let's take a closer look at how these technologies perform in different environments.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Where things get really interesting. We'll dive into that in the next part of our deep dive.
Ooh, a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Can't wait to find out who wins the wireless showdown.
Really?
Stay tuned, everyone. All right, back to the wireless battleground.
Yeah.
Last we heard, the researchers had run these simulations to see how OFDM and OTFS stacked up.
Right.
In terms of throughput. I'm on the edge of my seat here.
Okay.
Lay it on me. How did they perform?
Well, the results really highlight the strengths and weaknesses of each technology.
Okay.
As you might expect, OFDM, the veteran,
right,
performs admirably in scenarios where there's not a lot of movement.
So like browsing the internet on your phone while sitting at your desk.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Think home Wi-Fi, your phone in a cafe, or even a self-driving car that's parked.
Okay.
In those environments, OFDM's complex but precise pilot structure works like a charm.
But we left off talking about how OFDM might struggle
when
things get a bit more dynamic.
Right.
What happens in those scenarios?
Well, imagine you're streaming a movie on a high-speed train. Or maybe you're in a drone delivering a package.
Yeah.
Things are moving fast, which means the signals are bouncing around more erratically.
Yeah.
This creates those higher Doppler shifts we discussed earlier.
And that's where OFDM starts to falter.
Yes. Those high Doppler shifts throw a wrench in OFDM's carefully crafted system, its complex pilot structure, which works so well in stable environments, starts to become a liability. It can't adapt quickly enough to the rapidly changing channel conditions.
Uh-huh. So that's where OTFS swoops in to save the day.
Precisely.
Okay.
OTFS, with its simpler pilot scheme and its inherent ability to account for time and frequency variations, is much more robust in these challenging environments. Like, it's built for speed.
Yeah.
Think of it as a high-performance race car versus a reliable family sedan.
Okay, I'm starting to see the appeal.
Yeah.
Does that mean OTFS is destined to completely replace OFDM then?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
It's more likely that these two technologies will coexist, each playing to its strengths in different scenarios. OFDM will likely continue to be the go-to for those stable, low-mobility environments, while OTFS will take the lead in those high-speed, high-stakes situations.
So a dynamic duo, each with their own superpowers. I like it. But this document we're looking at is from a few years ago.
Yeah.
Have there been any new developments since then?
Absolutely. Research in wireless communication is constantly evolving.
Okay.
Researchers are constantly tinkering with both OFDM and OTFS, trying to improve their performance and efficiency.
So what's on the horizon? What are they working on?
Well, for OFDM, researchers are exploring ways to make it more adaptable.
Okay.
Maybe by developing more sophisticated pilot configurations or creating algorithms that can adjust to changing channel conditions on the fly.
Interesting. So trying to make the sedan a little sportier, a bit more off-road ready.
Yes, precisely.
Yeah.
As for OTFS, researchers are focused on reducing its computational complexity.
Okay.
It requires a fair bit of processing power, which can be a challenge for some devices. They're also working on making it more efficient in terms of how it uses bandwidth and energy.
So streamlining the race car, making it even faster and more agile.
Right.
All of this sounds incredibly complex. It's amazing to think that all this is happening behind the scenes. Just so we can stream videos and play games without a hitch.
It really is remarkable. These technologies are the foundation of our increasingly connected world.
Yeah.
And the competition between them is driving some incredible innovation.
Okay, but let's bring it back down to Earth for a second. This research paper mentioned something about pilot boosting for OFDM.
Right.
What was that all about?
Ah, yes. Pilot boosting is a technique where researchers intentionally increase the power allocated to those pilot signals in OFDM.
So, like, turning up the volume on those guideposts to make them easier to hear.
Exactly. The idea is that by giving those pilots more power, the receiver can better estimate the channel conditions, even in those high Doppler scenarios where OFDM typically struggles.
Okay, I see the logic. So did it work? Did pilot boosting give OFDM the edge?
The researchers compared pilot-boosted OFDM against OTFS in those same simulations, you know, varying the Doppler shift and all.
Right.
What they found is pretty fascinating.
I'm all ears. What did they discover?
Even with this power boost, even with those guideposts amplified, OTFS still maintained a significant throughput advantage.
Wow.
Especially at higher Doppler shifts, it outperformed OFDM in those challenging environments.
Wow. So OTFS isn't just winning because of its simpler pilot structure.
Right.
It's something more fundamental, right?
Yes. It suggests that OTFS has a deeper, more inherent robustness to those distortions caused by movement.
Okay.
It handles those time and frequency variations more gracefully.
Okay, I'm officially impressed, but where do we go from here?
Yeah.
What does this all mean for the future of wireless communication?
That's the million-dollar question, and it's one we'll unpack in the final part of our deep dive.
Oh.
We'll explore the potential of OTFS, the challenges it still faces, and what it could mean for everything from self-driving cars to remote surgery.
This is getting good.
Stay with us.
I can't wait to hear what the future holds. Don't go anywhere, folks. We'll be right back with a thrilling conclusion to our wireless showdown. Okay, so we've seen how OTFS kind of has the upper hand, especially when things get a little bit more dynamic. But what does that actually mean for, you know, the average person?
Yeah.
How's this going to impact our lives beyond, you know, just faster downloads?
That's the exciting part. The potential applications of OTFS are vast.
Okay.
Let's start with something that, you know, many of us dream of. Flawless connectivity on the go.
Yeah.
Imagine streaming a 4K movie on a bullet train.
Okay.
No buffering, no lag, crystal clear picture the entire time.
That'd be amazing.
Or picture a surgeon performing a complex operation remotely.
Wow.
Controlling robotic arms with absolute precision thanks to the ultra-reliable, low-latency connection provided by OTFS.
Wow, that's some serious next-level stuff.
It goes beyond entertainment and healthcare. OTFS could revolutionize transportation.
Okay.
Think about self-driving cars navigating busy city streets.
Yeah.
Communicating seamlessly with each other and with traffic infrastructure all in real time.
Oh, wow.
Or consider swarms of drones delivering packages, coordinating their flights with pinpoint accuracy, thanks to the robust connectivity that OTFS enables.
Okay, you've painted a very compelling picture of a future powered by OTFS.
Right?
It all sounds amazing.
Yeah.
But is this really achievable?
Well,
what hurdles does OTFS still need to overcome before it becomes as commonplace as, say, Wi-Fi?
You're right. There are still some challenges.
Sure.
As I mentioned earlier, one of the big ones is computational complexity.
Okay.
OTFS requires some serious processing power,
which
can be a drain on battery life.
Yeah.
And may not be feasible for all devices, at least not with current technology.
So, like, trying to run a high-end video game on an old computer.
Yeah.
It might work, but not very smoothly.
That's a great analogy.
Yeah. Researchers are working on developing more efficient algorithms.
Okay.
And signal processing techniques that would reduce the computational burden of OTFS.
Yeah.
Making it more accessible for a wider range of devices.
That makes sense. Is there anybody else holding OTFS back?
Well, OTFS is still relatively new compared to OFDM.
Okay.
It needs further testing and optimization in real-world scenarios to ensure it can live up to its potential.
Yeah.
There are also questions about compatibility with existing infrastructure.
Right.
We can't just flip a switch and replace everything with OTFS overnight.
Yeah, I guess it's going to be a gradual evolution, not a revolution.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But the momentum behind OTFS is undeniable.
Okay.
Researchers, industry leaders, and even governments are investing heavily in its development.
Wow.
It's clear that many see OTFS as a key enabler for the next generation of wireless technology.
It's fascinating to see how this all unfolds. A few years ago, most people hadn't even heard of OTFS.
Right.
And now it's being touted as the future of connectivity. Yeah, it really highlights how quickly technology can advance.
Right.
And it underscores the importance of staying curious and informed about these developments.
Absolutely.
They might seem abstract and technical, but they have the power to reshape our world in profound ways.
Well said. I think we've covered a lot of ground today.
We have.
We explored the intricacies of OFDM and OTFS,
yeah,
delved into their strengths and weaknesses, and even took a glimpse into the future of wireless communication.
It's been a great deep dive.
I'm always amazed by how a single research paper can spark such a wide-ranging discussion.
Me too.
I hope our listeners found this exploration as insightful and engaging as I did.
I'm sure they did.
And remember, this is just the beginning of the conversation.
Right.
The world of wireless technology is constantly evolving.
It is.
We encourage you to keep exploring, stay curious, and maybe even do some deep dives of your own. That's all for this episode of The Deep Dive. We'll catch you next time with another fascinating topic to explore. Until then, keep learning, keep questioning, and keep diving deep.